Conspiracies.
A conspiracy typical of those that riddle Ardua, thundered Swarbrick. Just as maggots will riddle a harvest if left unchecked.
Orso did not doubt it was typical, in that it was a total fantasy. Swarbrick stalked past the dock, pointing out the accused one by one, finger vibrating with righteous rage.
A banker, a miller, a baker, and a Styrian agent.
It sounded like the start of a bad joke, but there had been little to laugh at since Judge had her predecessor tossed from the Tower of Chains. Rizenau had swapped the old lyres on the benches for new ones, ripped out the stained glass, and turned the Lord's Round into the Commons Round. Judge had installed clumsy boxes, docks, rails of rough sawn wood, splattered the marble walls with slogans, and turned it into the Court of the People. In the morning, representatives wrestled over the details of government every bit as ineffectually as they had before. From the moment Judge flung herself into the chair where Rizenau used to sit, her dirty feet propped on the high table, court was in session and the people's enemies should tremble.
The banker lent the money, bellowed Swarbrick. So the miller could adulterate his flour, so the baker could sell bread at inflated prices, causing hunger and discord in the service of a Styrian plot to manipulate the markets and undermine the great change.
Shrieks of horror from the overflowing public galleries, grumbles of upset from the representatives' benches. Orso wondered how the accused had been picked. What terrible roll of the dice had nudged them over the invisible line from being the people to being enemies of the people? Citizen Brock was carefully silent, Orso noted. He had developed a fine sense for when to speak and when not to, what to say and what not to. It was coming to something when one wished one could have the young lion's good judgment, as well as his wife. Orso frowned. Had he really just thought that?
I never met them,
the Styrian woman was wailing, wringing her hands.
I never even met them before now.
Orso winced at her strong accent, which drew instant jeers from above. Any hint of difference aroused suspicion. Be watchful, screamed one slogan hacked into the wall in letters twice the height of a man. Freedom means punishment, roared another in streaky red. Conspiracies are everywhere. Gurkish eaters sent by the prophet Kalul to debase the coinage, imperial ruses to weaken the people's army and annex the near country, Styrian plots to spread the rot through infected whores. Even Angland, Starikland, and Westport were filthy with regression, royalism, and treachery against the great change. Orso had intimate personal experience of government and felt petty selfishness, incompetence, and bad luck were far more likely explanations for its shortcomings than intricate webs of malice spanning the circle of the world. But then they were far less satisfying explanations, too. He rather wished the wilder theories were true. Had there been half as many secret monarchists as people claimed, he would never have been deposed. Then he might have been sitting in that gilded chair, presiding over his own, more polite brand of rank injustice. The crowned puppet for Baez to dangle before the nation with one hand while he picked its pocket with the other. The grinning figurehead of a ship, crewed by ruthless torturers like old Styx, self-serving embezzlers like Lord Isher, brutal users like Lord Wetterlant. Orso winced and rubbed at the bridge of his nose. Swarbrick was dealing with the baker first. He was a chubby man, which made him look guilty of eating well, and he was sweating profusely, which made him look guilty of being warm. Both of them capital crimes in this lean winter of the great change.
I've been a baker 20 years,
he was saying.
My father was a baker.
Hoarders!
Someone screamed.
Take him to the tower!
Take them all!
The Styrian woman clutched her face with her hands as if she wanted to crush it between them.
Mercy! She blubbed. Mercy!
The court was not without it. Judge was the voice of the mob. She was their bitter rage, their envy and their greed, but she was also their sentimental forgiveness. When the mood turned for some well-spoken old man, some innocent-looking young woman, first Judge's chin would crinkle, then her lower lip would tremble, then her black eyes would well with tears. Sometimes she would vault from behind the high table, kiss the accused, clasp their head to her rusted breastplate. Then they would be embraced by weeping guards, applauded on their way out of the hall while songs were sung and slogans chanted, "Free citizens and citizenesses, enemies no more." Perhaps Judge liked seeing the hope in the eyes of the accused so she could see it crushed. Perhaps she truly believed she was doing the good work and rejoiced in those righteously acquitted as much as those rightfully convicted. Perhaps, surely the most terrible possibility of all, she was doing the good work, and somehow he could not see it. The baker was trying to defend himself, but how to prove false what was self-evidently absurd?
I charged the lowest prices I could and still stay in business, but flour's gone up so high, and so we come to you,
roared Swarbrick at the miller. He was bony and severe, with a habit of peering up shiftily from under his brows that did him no favours.
There was a poor harvest, he barked out. Now the cold weather's frozen the canals, snarled up the roads. It's hard to get goods into the city.
Ah, so the government is to blame.
Swarbrick spread his arms towards the benches behind the dock, where the representatives gravely shook their heads at such a slander.
And since the government consists of those chosen by the people,
Swarbrick leaned back, raised his arms to the balconies,
the people are to blame?
It's not a question of blame,
shouted the miller, hardly heard over the insults pouring from above.
It's about facts.
But it was not about facts at all, and was very much a question of blame as far as the public galleries were concerned. Someone threw something, a coin. It missed the miller and hit the Styrian woman on the forehead. She gave a shriek, slumping in the dock.
Who fucking threw that?
Screamed Judge, veins bulging from her rashy neck. Captain Broad, who'd been lurking behind the high table sipping from a hip flask, now burst forth, flinging a chair out of his way and sending it bouncing across the tiled floor, making everyone within 20 strides, including Orzo, shrink back.
Oh, fucking threw that!
He roared. The tendons starting from his great fists, made furious by Judge's fury as surely as a dog by its master's. In the guilty silence that followed, the banker's efforts at a defence could finally be heard.
I merely worked for the banking house of Vallant and Bulk. I never profited personally from any...
Usurer!
Someone screeched. No doubt there were profiteers and speculators everywhere. Before the great change, they had simply called that business, and the worst offenders had been celebrated as society's greatest successes. The banker's cracked lenses flashed as he glanced nervously upwards.
As you see,
he balanced a heavy ledger on the rail so the densely written numbers were angled towards Swarbrick.
The loans I handled were mostly to mining interests, mineral exploration, some foundries.
Representatives craned forwards to squint at the figures. Judge wrinkled her nose. Evidence in general was of little interest to her, but paperwork she treated with particular disdain.
This one, typical, you see, 6,000 marks.
The court has not the time to indulge in this trivia, grumbled Swarbrick, waving it away.
The man began to look alarmed. He had clearly considered this a cast-iron defense.
But these ledgers prove my innocence.
Bastard! Someone shouted. Liar! Enough numbers! Snarled Judge. Get rid of the bloody books!
The thin burner, Salby, seized the ledger. He and the banker wrestled over it, paper ripping.
But the numbers prove... Ah!
Salby finally tore the book free and started to beat the banker over the head with it. His co-defendants stared in horror, but the public gallery was thoroughly entertained.
Make him eat it!
Someone screeched with laughter.
Make him eat it! Order in the fucking court!
Roared Judge. Salby flung the ledger away, pages flapping, and it spun across the tiled floor. The banker stood gasping, eye lenses skewed, collar torn, blood running from a gash on his scalp.
The numbers, he breathed, astonished. Prove!
Orso put his hands over his face and watched from between his fingers. The poor man had it backwards. Whatever the question, the great change was the answer. That was a fact none dared challenge. So the scarcity, the failures, the defeats must be caused by profiteering, betrayal, and conspiracy. If you could only purge all the disloyal, all the unfaithful, all the foreign agents, then there would be victory. Then there would be plenty. That the prescription was killing the patient could only mean that not enough had been administered. It was not a rational argument. Facts were useless against it. It was an argument based on faith. It belonged in a temple, not a court. The irony, of course, was that the burners had burned the temples. So they had turned the Lord's Round into a temple and called it a court. And none are more fanatical in their faith than the convert. Swarbrick strutted across the tiled floor until he stood before the weeping Styrian.
And you, he screeched, you were the mastermind.
The woman stared, her lip wobbling, her bloody hand clapped to the coin wound. Rarely had Orso seen anyone look less like the mastermind of anything. The pink point of her tongue darted over her pale lips, breath coming fast. Blind panic, and who could blame her? Orso felt his shoulders sag. Everyone in the court knew what came next.
I denounce them, she wailed desperately. I didn't know what they were doing. They're guilty. They're all guilty.
I knew it, shouted Swarbrick, delighted.
I never matter,
screeched the baker.
Lies,
said the miller.
Lies!
The banker pulled off his lenses with a trembling hand and put the other over his eyes.
Guilty,
shouted Judge, banging dents in the high table with the smith's hammer she used as a gavel.
Guilty! Guilty! Fucking guilty!
There was no need to pronounce a sentence. The only outcomes here were acquittal or the Tower of Chains. Hildy stared at Judge and Broad and Salby and the red-smeared burners jeering from the public gallery.
They're monsters,
Orso heard her whisper.
I almost wish they were, he muttered. That would be easier. But they're just people. They're the worst people I ever saw. Of course they are. We hanged all the best ones. The ones who might have helped, might have compromised, might have built bridges. We left dangling over the road to Valbec. Of course they are cruel and greedy and brutal. Those are the lessons we taught. That was the example we set.
I never met them,
the Styrian woman burbled as the prisoners were manhandled up the aisle.
I'm innocent!
But it was far too late for that. It was too late the moment they were put in the dock. There was only one real conspiracy here, to find people to blame, and they were all complicit. Judge tossed down her hammer and sat back, picking her teeth. "What's for lunch?" she asked.